Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here, and we have a fun podcast here for you today where we are going to be talking with somebody who's doing something I think very interesting. I think a lot of Survivor fans will be interested in hearing about. You know, I think that one of the most fun things that we get to do here with Survivor and with reality TV is that we like to talk about, you know, something that's not super important in the scheme of things with very smart people, which is really like the inverse of most of the rest of the internet. And that's what we're going to do here today with a man who has put together a college course, which is all about Survivor. The course is called Surviving Survivor, Insights from Reality TV for Real Life. He is a long time Rob Has a Podcast listener and a big Survivor fan. Let's welcome in the facilitator and professor at McMaster University, Hartley Jaffina. Hartley, how are you?
Doing very well, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here.
Hartley, that you had reached out to me where I had started the Survivor Academy, which is the patron-only podcast where we sort of like had like a pretend university, like a Hogwarts of Survivor, where we're going to take a look at the show every single week and talk about what future players can learn. But you have a real-life Survivor Academy going on.
Exactly, exactly. Yes. And it was a long time coming. A colleague of mine and a good friend, Jen Nash, the two of us are huge Survivor fans. I've been a huge Survivor fan since Borneo, way back when in 2000. And on Thursday mornings, Jen and I would meet up in the office of the program that we teach in and debrief the episode and talk a bit about what did you think. And one day we started doing a bit of a thought experiment, thinking about, could this be a course? And we were really struck by a lot of the conversations we were having in the Bachelor of Health Sciences program where we teach. A lot of the focus that we do in the course focuses on how groups make decisions together, how groups collaborate together, how they function together. And truly, way back when, season one, episode one, Richard Hatch is sitting on the tree and he asks the Toggy tribe, we need to think about the process. We need to think about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And that sort of echoes some of the conversations that we have in our own classes. So then we started thinking, could we actually develop a course out of this? Could there be a course on Survivor? And during one spring break, one reading week, we decided to put together a fake course outline or imagine what would a course outline look like. And that was where we started to go with it. And then we started to build and say, oh, well, we could talk about the representation of race in the course. And we could talk about leadership and what does it mean to be a leader on Survivor and how those conversations about leadership or about race play out in the real world and use Survivor as a comparison to what is true for the game and what is true for life outside the game.
So Hartley, I am very curious to know about how, okay, so you have this idea, okay, and this is this is 2020, okay, this is during COVID, right?
Well, this idea actually was started in 2017, 2018.
It was, okay.
Yeah, so we started to talk and it was, and kind of brainstorm about what this course could look like.
Okay. And so you have this idea and you have this outline. And so you go to the powers that be at McMaster. And what is the reaction when you say you want to build a course around Survivor?
Surprisingly positive. Jen actually was on a canoe trip with our program. And she happened to be in a canoe with our dean, Stacey Ritz. And she's canoeing with her. And they were talking about TV shows that they like. And Jen happened to mention to Stacey, oh, you know, Hartley and I have developed this course for Survivor. And Stacey thought about it and went, that's really cool. Let's do it. And was really supportive, luckily really supportive for the idea. And so that was 2018. And then 2019, we had proposed to do it. We were all set to do it. But then we weren't able to do it for a whole host of reasons. And then finally, in the fall of 2020, we got the green light to run the course for season one for the first time.
Okay. What was the response from other members of the faculty? Was there any sort of like condescension of like, really, you're teaching about a Survivor course?
There's been a lot of questions. The questions of Survivor. First of all,
is that show still on?
Exactly. Is that show still on? Mm-hmm. And then secondly, it's been kind of what could you possibly be doing to, you know, talk about Survivor in a university course? And once we start to explain, the topics that we're exploring, there's a lot of light bulb moments where people go, oh, yeah, I see that. I get that. So it takes that first explaining around what we're doing in the course and what we're exploring in terms of topics.
So I know that a lot of Survivor fans are wondering how similar is this to what Max Dawson used to do at Northwestern when he was teaching?
Max Dawson certainly was an inspiration for the course. And for Max and his course, he was in the Department of Film and Television Studies, and his course primarily focused on reality TV and using Survivor as an example of how reality TV impacted television and media studies. And our course builds off this idea on using Survivor as a text to explore other conversations. But essentially, we use Survivor to explore sociology, biology, philosophy, group process, leadership, community building, and all sorts of other more diverse topics. So our course really is an entry point to use Survivor to talk about a whole host of conversations, where it seems like Max's course at Northwestern really focused on the impact on television and media studies specifically.
So in going through the course now a couple of times, what's been the reaction that you've gotten from the students?
The reaction has been incredibly positive. Both years we ran the course, the course is capped at 30 students and enrollment filled up in minutes. So it was a very popular, well-received course. I think students were really excited to take the course, which surprised us, because when you offer a course for the first time, sometimes there's hesitancy around who are the profs, what is this course? But the uptake was really, really well-received. And the students, so far, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. They're really enjoying the course and loving their experience in it. And we've been so fortunate and lucky to have had survivors join the course to share their experience and have the students engage with them, which has really added so much to the experience.
Who have you had so far?
Well, the course operates, we watch season 37 in its entirety, week to week, watching one episode a week. So we've been lucky to grab a couple of season 37
good
players.
Good season.
Great season. Absolutely. Yeah. We've had Gabby Pascuzzi join us, Lirsa Torres and Christian Hubicki joined us over the past 2 years, which has been incredible. Great podcast guests. And certainly we've had some old school players from the earlier days, Lex and T-Bird from Africa, also great podcasters. We had our own kind of Talking with T-Bird course version of that. And
what was that like? Did she find somebody for you?
No, well, it was more us finding her and bringing her on to talk to our course. But the energy she brings to Talking with T-Bird, she brought it to our class and students.
No doubt.
Oh, we're just so taken by her and her, what she brought to the space.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So can you talk us through like the coursework? I know you said that you are watching, you know, David versus Goliath during the course of the semester. So can you just talk a little bit about like what are we doing in class, or what are my assignments going to be if I'm taking the class?
Yeah. So we watch season 37, like I said, week to week. And then every week we have additional episodes from a variety of the seasons, depending on the topic of the week. And the way the course runs is that when we arrive in class at our tribe beach, quote unquote, then we have discussions and quote unquote challenges with the students. So students are put into alliances, and each week an alliance has to organize and facilitate a experience for the class to engage with the episodes that we watched and the content for the week. So for example, we might be exploring the biological impact of playing the game. And so students who are responsible for that topic will come to class with some questions or some activities for the students to engage with as a way to talk a bit about what they saw in the show for that week, what the biological or psychological impact of playing the game is, and then possibly running an activity, which we're really excited to do in fall 2022 when we can do in-person activities, because the past years it's been online. So the course is very heavily discussion-based, where students are able to talk a bit about the show, what it means for the show, and how it relates to life outside the show in, quote unquote, the real world.
Harley, have you considered trying to implement some beware advantage phrases into the class where that for like extra work or extra credit, then maybe a student can like try to like get sneak one of your secret phrases into their report?
I love that idea. Putting it in the course outline. In the course outline, adding in, if you say the secret phrase in class 2, you can get an advantage in the course. I think that'd be a great idea. Too many good phrase ideas. You and T-Bird were developing some possible
phrases. T-Bird's the master. T-Bird's the master on that. I'll defer to T-Bird on doing that. Is David versus Goliath always going to be the season? Have you considered other seasons potentially?
Yeah, the past 2 years has been David versus Goliath, though with this past season, season 42, that might come into play for next year, this fall, for a couple of reasons. One, Marianne is a McMaster grad, so that's been really exciting to have some McMaster representation on the screen.
But just to be clear, but she did not take your course.
She did not take my course. She graduated before.
But what are the chances? What are the chances that somebody who is a graduate of McMaster also is on the show and there's a course at McMaster where they're teaching about Survivor?
It is wild to me. And just seeing her on season 42, I think she would have been such a force in the class.
Sure.
To have her in that space. It was so exciting to see the cast list pop up and see that she was a Mac grad because that just brings so much connection to the university. And hopefully we're hoping to, have her join us. When I reached out to her to say hello and introduce myself, she wrote me back and said she was very upset that we didn't start the course 1 year earlier. So she would have been able to join us.
Yeah. I mean, imagine Marianne, giving her reports to the class.
Yes. She could still come back as a mature student if she wanted to. I think it'd be really fun to have her in the space and offering her perspective as a former player. Mm-hmm. So I think season 42 will probably be introduced, possibly either replacing season 37 or Jen and I have been talking about other seasons that we could use as a replacement, because season 37 was so great in the first 2 years of the course, because as you said, it's a great season. And so many of the conversations we were hoping to have really come out and are illustrated in the season as a whole.
Yeah. So I'm a little interested about your approach here in terms of what you're focused on. So if I am understanding this correctly, you're not really looking at the gameplay and the strategy, correct? Like this is not like a course about how to win Survivor.
No, exactly. We're using Survivor as a text to explore content and topic specific conversations and examinations. So one of the classes does look at game theory and how game theory and John Nash's equilibrium play out in Survivor, and then thinking about how game theory.
No relation to Jen Nash.
No relation to Jen Nash, though maybe, we don't know. Mm-hmm. Unclear. Mm-hmm. And so that one class will talk a little bit about how people could play optimally in Survivor, though the class as a whole uses Survivor more so as a conversation starter to examine sociological or philosophical or psychological conversations.
Well, I would love to know a little bit about the findings that you've uncovered in terms of what does Survivor teach us about society?
Absolutely. And some of
we're humans.
Yes. And some of the work that we've seen draw off of the work that some of the great RHAT podcasters have spoken about, thinking about Sean Falconer and Amanda Rabinowitz's work around kind of how Survivor has a kind of problem with players of color who get voted out really early. And so that is certainly a deep conversation that we have. Gia Worthy, who has an article as well that we brought into the course as required reading. And I know she was just on your Survivor Academy. She's awesome as well. Mm-hmm. And so thinking about how in the show, players of color are disadvantaged for a whole host of reasons in the show. And then looking at that and comparing that to people of color, job applicants of color, university students of color, and how the systems might be designed in a way that is reinforcing oppression or reinforcing discrimination or creating challenges or barriers for that group. So that is one way that we use the show as a way to examine and analyze broader conversations about the real life.
Is there any sort of takeaway that you get from looking at Survivor that you maybe wouldn't have thought about, had you just been thinking about society?
I think a lot of what we see on Survivor, the show likes to frame itself as we are a microcosm of real life. This is kind of a slice of America, or now a slice of America and Canada, of people coming together and playing the game, and it's just a game. Though what's been maybe re-illuminated for me and for the course is that this actually is a microcosm of real life. A lot of what we see in the show is emblematic and representative of what we see in our workplaces, in our universities, in our society. And then it becomes the question of, well, now what do we do about that? How do we work towards changing the system, changing these conversations? The course can really allow for those light bulb moments. And then we can think about language, about inclusivity, includes equity. So I think the show has an opportunity to spark those conversations.
I think one of the major changes that's happened in Survivor in terms of like the casting, where I think in the beginning, I do think that they sort of approached it as sort of like, okay, this is a microcosm of society. Like these are the everyday people that you find, there is somebody at your job who is like, you know, like a lot of these people that you would see on the show. And I think they sort of like went out of their way, at least, in the early seasons, to sort of like try to replicate that. I feel like that the casting has now shifted so far from that to that the casting on the show now is really like, we are really doing like some sort of like, I would say like exceptionalism, where that these are not the ordinary people you would necessarily find in your everyday life. Like these are like all exceptional people with exceptional stories that are on the show, where I think it's like a little bit of a different shift. Like, I don't think that this is necessarily the story of 18 average Americans that are, or 18 average North Americans that are playing the game.
Yeah, you can certainly see that shift in the casting. And part of that is about, to me, speaks about story and storytelling. And they want the audience to really connect with all of the players. And I think, I wonder if in season one, in the early days, it was about getting that kind of slice of American life, the kind of quote unquote average person just pulled off of out of their state and thrown onto an island. Mm-hmm. Now it's more focusing on how do we get the audience, the viewing audience, to emotionally connect with the stories that are being seen on screen, which wasn't as focused in the early days of the show.
Mm-hmm. So what are some other takeaways that you've gotten from taking a look at Survivor in your coursework?
Well, some of the things that we explore, particularly in terms of leadership and how groups function together, are things that are really interesting when compared to real life. Because in real life, leadership is seen as a valuable quality. People admire leaders often. People want to take on, or a lot of people want to take on that leadership role. And it's interesting because, as we've seen on Survivor, you don't always want to be in that leader position. You don't want to take the map to the water well, because that actually is really problematic for you, mm-hmm. or could put a huge target on your back. So it's been interesting to look at how the show operates kind of in isolation, where it has different comparisons to real life. One of the biggest things, and this was Jen Nash's contribution to the course, is the discovery of how university life mirrors Survivor.
Okay, interesting.
In terms of a new player season is very similar to first year of undergrad, where you are arriving to a new place, you don't know anyone, you've got to set up your camp, you don't know the lay of the land, so to speak, you're figuring it out as you go. And then an upper year course resembles an all-star season, where you might have heard about a professor, or you have heard about the students and what their work ethic is like, or are they a slacker, or are they someone who is a good person to have on your group project? And certainly there's obvious comparisons between, you know, a Survivor resume and a real life university resume that you need to build to kind of advantage yourself in the game of life or in the game of university and education.
Do you see any sort of like commonalities in terms of like Survivor success and also first year students that have success when they come to the college?
I think so, because players that do really well on day one probably resemble a lot of students that do really well on day one on campus. Being open, being friendly, connecting with others, trying to build relationships in a meaningful way serves people well in life and on the show. So if you are a student that really felt like you did really well on day one or week one of university, mm-hmm. probably would fare really well on Survivor.
You know, I have found that it seems like that college students really seem to have a real affinity for Survivor. And I feel like it's not just like a recent thing, but I feel like that for some time that do you find that college students seem to really, there's something about like people that are sort of college age where the show really appeals to them?
Absolutely. Part of it is that it's been around. A lot of reality, there's so much reality TV out there, but everyone has heard of Survivor. Even if they haven't watched it, they know of it, they've heard of it. And so there's a connection to it in some way. Their family watches it, they have friends who watch it. So there's a link to Survivor across the university because of the fact that it's been around so long and it's so well known. And then with reality TV being so important in a lot of ways to university life, there's a lot of people that get together to watch The Bachelor or Big Brother or Survivor. There are those pockets of students that are really are building community through reality TV. It's something to watch and dissect and do as a group and together. And that's something that I did when I was an undergrad. We would get together in our dorm room lounge and we would watch Survivor. I remember watching you in 03 play on the Amazon in my university dorms.
How were a lot of people rooting for me, Harley? Or you?
They were, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell me if they weren't. It's okay.
Well, I think people were really impressed, not to, you know, suck kneecaps, but people were really impressed with the way you were able to manipulate the game and turn on a dime.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, in a college, and again, I haven't thought about how much it's changed since I was there. Like, is there still like a lot of like communal viewing of shows? Because not to like really, you know, date myself, but, you know, like back in my day, like there were like everybody didn't have their own like device where they're watching their own things, that on the college campuses, people are still gathering together to watch shows.
Yes, both in terms of a show that a house watches. You know, if there's seven or eight students in a house, they'll have maybe a communal show that they'll gather together and watch as a house, and it might be the only time in a week that the seven or eight of them are together watching that. And then there are the communities of people who don't live together in a house, but they'll watch a show either going over to someone's house and watching it, or, you know, in 2000 when, you know, COVID was rampant, people watching it in isolation, but then getting together on, you know, group chats to talk about the show, or even just over text to kind of say, what do you think? So it's something that people can engage and theorize and chat about in a really fun way.
Harley, I would love to know a little bit more about the students that sign up for this course. Are you finding that they are people who are like Survivor super duper fans? They already know everything about Survivor, or they sort of have like more of just like a passing interest in Survivor, and then they come in and want to know more?
Both years we run the course, we've had two different groups of students. Year one, it was roughly broken down a third, a third, a third. One third, super fans, knew everything about the show, had seen every season. About a third, casual fans who had seen a couple of seasons but didn't know the show, you know, very well or as intimately as the super fans. And then about a third who had never seen the show. This past run of the course in the fall of 2021, it was probably more of a 70-30 split of 70 people, 70% who had never seen the show, and then 30% who were super fans. So this year, we had a lot of people who were completely unfamiliar with the show from the start.
What's the bigger challenge for you? Because I would have to think that with the students that are the super duper fans who already know everything or think they know everything, I feel like that would probably present some problems in terms of like the coursework that you're trying to get into.
Yes, I have to, both myself and with the super fans, need to remind everyone to slow down. Mm-hmm. Because I've got so much useless knowledge that finally has a purpose. But I have to recognize, and we have to recognize, that not everyone is on that same page. And so students will say, oh, this actually played out in, you know, Survivor Cook Islands. And we have to go, okay, we haven't seen that season yet, or we're not going to watch that season. And the class doesn't have that context. And so it can be really hard for those super fans to want to bring in so many other episodes or other seasons that the class hasn't seen. And sometimes it's us kind of reminding them that, you know, they need to slow down a bit. Or then Jen and I need to provide that context of, okay, what they're talking about is this happened and this is how it connects to our conversation. So it's being mindful of the students that have never seen the show and kind of putting everything in context for them.
And the students who have never seen the show before, like how quick are they picking everything up?
Oh, extremely well.
Yeah.
They are picking it up. Sometimes the new twists and advantages especially in the newer seasons, are a bit confusing. Or
they are for us too. Yeah.
Oh, I know. What is an amulet? Exactly. And so part of it is getting them to think about what is the history of these advantages. So in, you know, season 37, when there was an idol nullifier, explaining like that is the first time this has ever existed. And this is brand new. So the way they're using it, they are using it with the knowledge of this has never been done before versus an idol talking a bit about, well, there was, you know, the super idol, the Tyler Perry super idol. There was, you know, the regular mutant idol as we know it now, and providing all that backstory so that way they are fully up to date as to what do these advantages look like and how has it evolved over time.
So when you're teaching this course in, say, the fall of 2021, is the stuff that's happening and playing out in Survivor 41, like, is there like a portion of the course where you're talking about just what happened this week in New Survivor?
We had an online space for that in our kind of online discussion platform. Students were able to talk and discuss and share season 41. We didn't bring in any season 41 in the fall of this past year, but we are really looking forward to bringing it into the fall of 2022, for sure, given the fact that we have a Canadian winner.
Yes, a Canadian winner in season 41. But I have to think, looking at season 42, you know, from your perspective and from everybody at McMaster, boy, there's got to be a lot of excitement right now with Marianne, a McMaster graduate, on the season. I mean, this could really put Surviving Survivor, the course, on the map. If Marianne, a McMaster graduate, I mean, have you, Hartley, you must have thought about this.
Oh, absolutely. I think if she takes home the title, we might have to open up another section because I think it's just going to increase the popularity. And I mean, hopefully it'll put McMaster kind of in Survivor's kind of orbit in a much more powerful way.
Sure, sure. I mean, what will this university do? Have you had any meetings yet? Do you think that it will be a plaque or a statue of Marianne?
Oh, I think statue. I think maybe both. Plaque and statue. Maybe everyone gets a Taku buff that they need to wear on the first day of university to kind of show their pride with Marianne.
Maybe, you know, and again, this might be like a little bit more sort of like, you know, tasteful than just like a, you know, a giant statue, but maybe like the monument should be a mailbox with a bunny rabbit inside eating dinner.
Oh, I think, yes, a giant statue with a mailbox. Yeah. Yes,
maybe, or maybe it should be next to the statue. Maybe we could put your fan mail to Marianne in that, push the bunny rabbit out of the way and put the letters through.
Oh, that is an amazing idea. Yeah.
Just think about it. Okay. So when you have your students going through and, you know, like re-examining all these Survivor things, has anybody ever come up with anything that's really just kind of off the wall where, you know, it's sort of like, I don't know about that.
Well, one of the quote unquote challenges that we have in the course, one of the assignments for the course is we ask the students to create their own challenge, Survivor challenge.
Yes.
And that has been really interesting to see how off the wall they can get. The only restrictions are that it has to be rooted in reality, but their budget is unlimited.
Okay.
And so it's been really wild to see what they can create and come up with getting survivors to run a challenge. So that's been really kind of off the wall in terms of the creativity that they bring to that.
Well, assignment. What have you gotten submitted?
Oh, just the different ways in which puzzles, like there was an underwater puzzle where you've got to solve a puzzle underwater, which I thought was really, I don't think it's ever been done before on the show. And I thought that was really neat because then you've got to figure out the puzzle, but also you have the time limit of how much can you hold your breath underwater.
Yeah. And also I think the challenge is going to be, you know, how does Jeff see what you're doing? Maybe does Jeff have like a periscope or maybe he has like a monitor.
a scuba suit.
Jeff goes down with this. That'd be incredible.
A scuba suit with his kind of traditional shirt and shorts kind of like painted on. So that way you still know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. What other challenges has the class come up with?
Well, just it's been interesting as well because especially the students who have never seen the show, it's been interesting to see what they create because sometimes they create things that have already been done, but they don't have the context for it. So it's also been interesting to see how challenges that have been created for the show are being devised by students who have no knowledge of the show. And that's been really fun to see. And when Jen and I are responding, we're saying, actually, check out season 14, because that was shown there. Mm-hmm. And the students had no idea. So that's, to me, I find really fascinating that even when they have as much creativity as they want, they're devising things that we've already seen in the show.
I would love to hear just any other like interesting discoveries that you or the class has come into in running through this course twice now.
One of the most interesting discoveries was this came at the end of the first kind of run of the course, is that a student asked us about the show itself in terms of the impact to Fiji or whatever country they were in.
Yes.
And that was a conversation that we hadn't originally thought of, at least in the first run of the show. And so it was really fascinating in the last year of the course to talk a bit about the impact of the show to the environment, how they hire people to construct the challenges and what that does for labor, who gets paid and what they get paid. So those are conversations that I didn't ever, that was my blind spot on the show, mm-hmm. that I actually think about and consider,
yeah.
And seeing it play out in real life.
Have you come to the conclusion that Survivor is a net positive or negative to Fiji?
Probably. I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers, but certainly mixed, because there's certainly a net positive in what they bring to tourism and, you know, highlighting Fiji and the beauty of Fiji. But then certainly there is the negative impact in terms of taking advantage of labor and the environmental impact of the show. Though certainly the fact that the show isn't moving around as much, that has maybe possibly reduced the environmental impact, because you're not, you know, taking out huge swaths of land to build these challenges.
Yeah, I would just have to think, and you know, I don't know if there's ever been a ton of like research or discussion about this, but I think that like back in the day, it's like, okay, let's go out to Tocantins, let's build all of our challenges here in the Brazilian highlands, and then I think you kind of just throw everything out at the end of the season. I don't know if necessarily they had like a Survivor freighter that's like, coming in and then you're loading everything up and then they're shipping all the props out to Samoa. Like, I kind of feel like that you sort of like take the stuff that's like the small stuff and everything else is probably just getting scrapped, where I feel like at least in Fiji, you know, you probably are reusing a lot of the same, challenge, like where we see the giant ball. Like, I think it's probably the same giant ball that we had in season 41.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And to think about, just building off your question of other things that have come out of the course that were really surprising, one of the pieces that we found really interesting was one of the classes looks at performing for the jury and how players present themselves and make their case, the art of persuasion. And it's been really fascinating to hear how students are able to connect that back to real life presentations at a university, how that links back to telling, your story or your narrative when you do a job interview, paying attention to what the interviewers are asking you, their body language, what is the subtext of what they're asking from you in those questions. And originally, when we had conceived the notion of performing for the jury, we thought about it more in terms of what bodies, what can a man do versus what can a woman do in the final jury when they're presenting their work? Like, what are things that are criticized if you are in a female body, or what things that are, advantaged if you're in a male identified body, and how certain and or ages or race or kind of all the different kind of intersectionalities that come into the game. And that was how we thought about performing for the jury. And the way the students took it was thinking about, how do you make your case? How do you present your argument? How do you persuade someone to give you something that they might not want to give you?
Mm-hmm. In thinking of it that way, like, are you finding that studying Survivor is teaching you more about society, or is looking at Survivor you're being more informed about how Survivor works by what you know about society?
I think it's certainly the former.
Yeah.
Using Survivor as a way to teach us about society, absolutely, because there's so much academic literature around the show and its portrayal of all sorts of groups and dynamics. And so certainly students are engaging with that. And then as well, hearing students talk about, I hearing students talk about how they view players and having to check their own biases of going, huh, if this was a male player, what would I think? Huh, if this was a female player, what would I think? And that allowing them to check their own biases is partly what we want to get out of this course. So that way, when they're working in groups in the real world, they're able to kind of stop themselves and go, am I identifying this person or categorizing this person in a certain way because of my implicit biases?
Is there anything else that is surprising to you that you have learned about society from studying Survivor?
One of the big things that I've learned about society from studying Survivor is probably the idea that understanding what, not just what you want, but by understanding what everybody else wants. And I come from a theater background, and my background using theater, when you're preparing for a character, it's always trying to think about what is the other character fighting for? What is that character fighting for? What is that character fighting for? And seeing how that plays out in Survivor and in real life, in that to get what you want out of a situation or to kind of move your agenda forward, it's partly thinking about what does the other person want? What are they fighting for? How do you find a way to make sure that they are getting what they want and they feel invested in the process and you are also invested in the process to get what you want? So thinking about how to facilitate and navigate the group dynamics is certainly something that I think has been strengthened from analyzing the show in the university context of how am I as a quote unquote leader, how am I as a collaborator, how do I make decisions with the group, and how can I use Survivor to learn how to improve those processes?
Now, we all know that there have been a lot of new twists and wrinkles added to Survivor over the years. Has that made the art of studying Survivor harder? Because that's sort of like a lot of like variables that get thrown into the mix?
Absolutely. I think you spoke about this with Gabby when you had her on the podcast after episode one. With all the twists and turns, it now all of a sudden, the relationship building isn't less important, but it makes it more complex because you can build relationships, but someone could have an advantage that completely derails the relationships that you've built. So having all these advantages makes the relationship building that much more complicated because now you've got to negotiate. We've got a solid bond, but how the advantage impacts that relationship needs to be considered as well. Versus in the early days, you could have a Lex, Ethan, Big Tom, Final Three locked in, and they're never going to waver because there's no reason to.
Yeah. And at the risk of sounding it like I am, you know, stumping for the twists, but I kind of feel like if you are studying Survivor like society, I mean, that in our world, which is as, you know, chaotic and random as you could ever imagine, that, you know, yeah, sure, you know, you could make relationships with a person, but you have no idea, like, what's around the corner.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to talk about with the students in the fall for us to explore what is the society equivalent to the advantage? What happens when someone gets a quote unquote advantage in real life? What does that do to the dynamic, to the process? Because there's, and even thinking of what is the amulet of real life? What is the beware advantage of real life? What is the immunity idol of real life?
Yeah. Wow. Do you have any thoughts?
Ooh. I mean, certainly the idol advantage has links with privilege. And yeah, one of the conversations that we had last year in the fall was talking about how when you're wearing the immunity necklace, you might feel more emboldened to do things that if you're not wearing the immunity necklace, you won't do. And a lot of the students were reflecting on how that exists in real life. If you're someone who is privileged or has less to lose, you might take more risks versus if you're someone who is oppressed by a system, you might feel more risky to turn on someone or make a big move.
Yeah, just in like looking at like a tribal council where, you know, if I feel safe, then like, or if I feel like, you know, that I, you know, I'm wearing the immunity necklace, like, nothing's going to happen to me. Like, I might feel like a certain comfort in really like, you know, trying to, you know, upset the apple cart or like attempting like a really big move, where if I am feeling like particularly vulnerable, I think I might be much less likely to try to do something really ambitious where, you know, if my position is tenuous, I do think that's a good example.
Yeah. And just if you look at like a job interview, if you know someone on the interview board or you have a connection, you've got the immunity idol. You can maybe speak more freely and more candid. Mm-hmm. If you are someone who's applying for this job and don't have those same connections or networking or advantages, then suddenly you want to say the things that make the most sense that you think will get you the job.
Mm-hmm. And I also like, if I may feel like so much like I have nothing to lose, like that I may act like a completely different way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's really interesting. If you had your ability to change anything about the show, you know, besides like less twists, is there anything in your research or studies that you think that maybe the show might want to take a look at?
That's come up a lot in the class, particularly when we talk about representation of race, sex and gender, the LGBTQ plus community. And I remember back in the first year we ran the course, we had Jamal Shipman in our course.
And one of the greats, yeah.
And he was talking about diversity and how Survivor needed to be better with diversity. And then that week was when they announced that they were going to ensure that 50% of the cast was players of color, which was really exciting for us because we had just had that conversation in the class. And the course students certainly talk a lot about ways in which the show could be better. And one of the students last year, you know, said the quote, you know, we are what we consume and what we're watching on TV is reflective of what, you know, we want society to be or what we hope society to be. And I know students have spoken about, for example, clothing as a big change, that women are at a huge disadvantage because their clothing is often smaller or they get less of it. And so it makes it more challenging for them to keep warm and hide idols and hide advantages in the same way that a man can. So thinking about little ways in which the show advantages a certain sex or gender are small tweaks that could be made as a way to kind of level the playing field. And thinking about the ways in which the game is set up to advantage certain groups and thinking about how do we address that. Though I'm sure we'd get pushback if that happened.
Mm-hmm. Hartley, do you feel like though, that after all this study that you could go out there now and you would have no problem winning a season of Survivor?
What I have always said is I would love to play the game. I suspect I would be like Zach from this season. I would play the game. I would go in hard. And I would probably be out fairly early on. Maybe a Max Dawson spot would be best case scenario for me.
His footsteps.
I don't know. I wonder if my background in the show might help, but I also think it could be a huge hindrance because you have the burden of knowledge. You know too much, and that can really impact how one plays.
So, would you have a cover story ready to go? Like, would you tell people you were a Survivor professor?
Oh, no. I think I would go with my theater background. I'm an aspiring actor. You know, I do improv. Mm-hmm. Kind of keep it low key.
Okay, this is a question that I don't know if this is the right answer to, but do you think that our real lives are more equivalent to the team part of the Survivor game or the individual part of the Survivor game?
I think the Survivor game is always individual. I think it's just kind of housed in this kind of tribe group format.
Mm-hmm.
But in truth, the whole game is an individual game. And I think that is very much probably similar to real life where we work in groups and also we are individuals. And probably Survivor, it's kind of a wishy-washy answer, but it's a bit of both because we do need those communal collective elements to work together to advantage the group, to make sure that there's survival and benefit to the group at large. And within that group at large, everyone is vying individually for their own advantages or success in the game of Survivor and in the game of life.
Hartley, do you have any fun stories or anything that you have seen in a couple of years from working with the students doing the course that you want to share?
I think one of the biggest things that I've really enjoyed from the students is just watching them bring challenges to the course in terms of taking a conversation that is course topical, but then putting a survivor spin to it. So getting us to engage in a challenge and getting us to participate in an activity that then they're able to seamlessly link back to the show. Those are the moments that really I'm really awed by, and Jen and I are really awed by. I'm watching the students kind of really get creative with how they use Survivor as an entry point to talk about larger conversations. And in terms of fun stories from the show, there was one this past year. We had, like I said, Lyrsa join us. She was a great guest, chatted a lot with the course. And then a couple of students who were doing their group presentation, their group challenge on the representation of LGBTQ+, they reached out to her and asked her to record a video for the class. And the way we like to describe it is she blindsided the class, because all of a sudden they said, oh, we're going to show a quick video for a moment, and then hit play. And all of a sudden it's Lyrsa's face. And she's talking about kind of the representation of LGBTQ and intersectionality on the show. And it was just such a wild moment for Jen and I to kind of go like, oh my goodness, what? How did you make that happen? Mm-hmm. And we were really impressed with the generosity of her. And I think our journey in the course, I don't think ever in my wildest dreams I would have thought, if I reach out to players, would they ever have an interest in coming on the show? And yes. I really didn't think the response was going to be what it was. And we felt so lucky from the Survivor community to be welcomed as positively as we have been.
Do you think that there's something unique about Survivor that makes it such an interesting mirror for the last 21 years of, you know, basically like North American society, that it makes it different than, like, could you do this sort of thing with, say, like American Idol or another show that has sort of like had that sort of longevity?
Possibly, but I think Survivor does a really excellent job of capitalizing on the cultural moments. Looking at what Survivor was in 2000, 2001, 2002, and looking at what is now, you can really see how the cultural conversations have shifted in North America in terms of how the show has dealt with race, and in terms of how the show has dealt with big topics like assault. You know, thinking about the way season 5 Ted and Gandia was dealt with versus the way, you know, season 39 was dealt with Dan. That speaks to kind of how the cultural moment and how the cultural conversation has shifted. And so by looking at the show and looking at how the show has evolved, I think is very much representative of how the cultural conversation has shifted and changed in terms of language, in terms of perceptions of certain actions, in terms of representation of groups or lack thereof. So the show really does act as a really nice mirror for how society is shifting and evolving.
Harley, is there anything else that you want to let the listeners know about everything that you have going on with the course?
What I would say is that, you know, please, if you want to, you know, learn more, you can reach out to me or Jen. I'm happy to chat more about the course. And if you have any suggestions, you know, we would love to hear. We always love, you know, I love going on to Twitter to see kind of what people are saying, because there's a lot of really great stuff that Jen and I can bring into the course for future years.
Okay. What is your Twitter?
At Hartley Jaffeen.
Okay. And then Hartley, how quickly does the course close up? Like when for people when they start enrolling? Because if I remember, and it's been a minute, so you sort of like it's like in the springtime, right? You're going to fill out your, you know, I'm trying to get this course, trying to get this class.
Yeah, June.
Okay.
Yeah, it fills up pretty quick. We are a course that, because our numbers are small, but also because I think of the content, we work quick. So you gotta be really quick on your add to cart, checkout, boom.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, if people want to enroll, it's McMaster University.
Yes.
Probably is it? It's what, too late for 2022?
No, registration opens in June. So if you are a McMaster student,
yeah. Well, but if you're not yet, you know, think about it.
Exactly.
Okay. You could join the likes of Marianne. Who are some other great McMaster alum?
Oh, Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy. Okay.
Yeah. And Martin Short are two McMaster
alums.
Wow.
Okay.
So we've got a couple of both. I think both of them are from Hamilton, Ontario, which is where we're located. Trying to think of other, those are the kind of the big,
three. Yeah.
Marianne, Eugene Levy, and Martin Short.
Sure thing. Okay. Well, Hartley, thank you so much for making some time to talk about what you have going on, because I think it's just so cool to hear when people are, you know, taking their love of Survivor and, you know, that is, you know, it makes me feel better about, like, you know, the show that I've kind of dedicated my life to, is that, you know, people are actually like learning important things from studying it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you so much for having me, Rob. It's been so much fun to chat about the course with you and to hear your thoughts and get your questions.
How would you do in Jordan Kalish trivia, Hartley?
I think I do okay.
Do okay.
I think I do okay. Huh. Yeah.
Hartley, well, thank you for making time to spend with us here. Of course, if you're checking out this podcast, check out everything else we have going on here during our week, a great week covering Survivor 42. Christian Hubicki joined us on the recap, Tiffany Seely on the feedback show for the patrons. Check out Gia Worthy talking about everything that we learned, all the lessons we learned from the merge, plus all things Survivor when you go to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of you. Have a good one. Bye. Bye.